The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How are your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, a little disclaimer here. I'd already decided on the introduction to this homily before the outcome of last night's game. So, every March, it seems as though this acronym B2B or BTB, especially for KU fans, means back-to-back, right? Looking for a repeat championship, to repeat a conference championship, to repeat, hopefully, a national championship. But regardless of if we're sports fans or not, regardless of who we're a fan of, I think at the onset of spring, every March, and being in the throes of Lent, this acronym can be something for us, even as us K-State fans, can hold on to. Right? And I learned this, it's not a repeat performance, but I learned this about this in a unique way this year. Right? We were donated somewhere close to 500 or 600 tulips, and I planted about 450 of them. Right? And tulips, when they twin, they break off, you break them off so that you can plant them, and now you have more tulips, right? I did some spring cleaning over last week, and I don't know if you've ever noticed, but over here on the west side of the building, we have two oak trees. And they produced probably thousands, and I mean thousands, of acorns that were just littered all over the place. And for these acorns, right, what has to happen is that outer shell has to break open for a new oak tree to form. It has to break open for new life to emerge. So as we celebrate this Laetare Sunday, meaning rejoice, we rejoice because we know that our salvation is near. But this B2B or this BTB can mean for all of us from broken to blossom, from broken to bearing fruit. Because our brokenness that I've been preaching on all of Lent doesn't have to be something that holds us back. This brokenness that we all experience is something that can actually lead us to new life. But it's if we begin to see, not as man sees, but as God sees. And those are the words of our Lord today to Solomon. He tells them not to judge by appearance, but rather to look as God sees, God who looks into the heart. So all of us have a reason now to kind of break open this shell of having to appear perfect, of having to have a perfect life, having to have it all together, and allow the hardness of our heart to go away. Because when we do, much like that acorn, but we emerge out of that and we seek the light. St. Paul tells us in our second reading today that when we experience and expose our heart to the light of Christ, then we rather begin to live and receive every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Right? All of us desire these things. We all desire goodness. We all desire to live in right relationship, and we all are thirsting for the truth. So regardless of the brokenness in our life, regardless of the hurt, whether it's something that we've chosen in sin, whether it's something that we're upset with God for the way he created us, if we're upset with the God who the way he's allowed us to experience things in our life or the family he's given us, regardless of what it may be, new life is on the horizon. New life is possible for us. And when we break through that darkness, we open up our heart to him and give him a chance to speak into that. It doesn't matter if we're the ugliest looking tulip bulb, a beautiful flower can emerge to the world. And not only does a flower come up and show for a little bit and go away, but rather we begin to twin. We begin to produce little acorns. How? How does this happen? We look at the man in the gospel today as our case study. Right? Because the man in the gospel was broken and everyone knew it. He was blind from birth. There was something wrong with him and he was now a beggar. They thought it was because of his sin. But what happens is when he allows Christ to touch him, when he allows himself to be converted, then everyone else has to ask that same question to themselves now. Well, who is Jesus Christ and who is he to me? And so for all of us, right, as I've said many a times, the number one thing to do is to acknowledge our brokenness. It's okay to acknowledge it. It's okay that even other people may know about it. I think back to my own time in college. I think college students are way better at this than they realize, because I don't think much has changed since I graduated in 2012. I think college students still come back and talk about their sinfulness from the weekend before as though it's something to be prized. So we're aware of our sinfulness. And we even begin to share it. But when we share, we impact other people's lives. So when we have this profound encounter of healing and growth, of truth, of goodness, and of righteousness in our life, do we share that? Because the second thing that we have to do is to share it with conviction, to share that very fruit in our life. And that's how we go from this brokenness to bearing fruit, is by giving testimony. And for some of us, that experience isn't joyful. Maybe that experience of saliva and spit and clay and all of that, that Jesus used as the means to save this man born blind so he could begin seeing anew, is the rock bottom that we've hit. But do we allow that experience to be harnessed to bear fruit in our life and in the lives of others? Because when we give testimony to how the light of Christ has opened and transformed our lives, then we're no different than the man born blind. Our sharing of that experience makes other people ask that same question. How did this happen? And who is Jesus Christ to me? Because people cannot deny your experience. They may say, oh, that's good for you, but I don't need that. But I think what we'll find is when we share it with joy, the way that the Lord's broken into our life, then other people will actually be like the Pharisees today. They'll come back and they'll ask us a second time, so how did that happen? Because there's something that speaks to what they desire in our own experience. And so what did the man born blind do when they came back to him a second time? I love this. He gets a little snarky here, right? Because he tells them, he says, why have you come here to ask me a second time? In other words, like, do you really think I was lying to you the first time? Do you think I'm just going to change my story here? And what does he say to them? He says, why have you come asking a second time? Do you want to be one of his disciples too? Brothers and sisters, this is at the heart of our life. This is at the heart of how our brokenness can begin to bear fruit in our life and in the lives of others. And so we can be like that tulip. We can be the ugliest bulb that produces the most beautiful flower. We can be that little acorn that gets broken and cracked open and then grows up to produce thousands of other acorns. When we acknowledge that hurt in our life, when we begin to allow it to be shared, then much like those acorns on this west sidewalk, we give other people reason to change the way they walk through life. So take ownership of the brokenness of your life. Acknowledge, maybe you're in that moment now. Where are you at? What event, what conversation with a friend, what encounter with God began to change your life? And third, how have you responded to that change? How has your life changed because of it, even if it was 40 years ago? And finally, what are you going to invite them into? Are you going to invite them to be a disciple as well? Because this is the joy. This is how we begin to twin. This is how we begin to bear fruit in the lives of others, even if we never see the seed planted in their heart, because we've placed a desire within to respond to the Lord's call. This is the joy of Lent. And we give things up, we walk with Christ. We're aware of the hurt, of the brokenness, of the things that we depend on in life. And we open ourselves up to truth, to goodness, and to righteousness. You know, it was said in ancient times, the blood of martyrs is the seedbed of the church. Well, the blood of our life is our life experience, our experience of Christ, our experience of all those good things. And a martyr, martyrion, is a witness. So I would say today, one who shares their experience, their encounter with Christ with another, is the seedbed of a springtime in your life, in the life of this campus, and in the life of our world.